Jesus commands us to pray, Christians. Ask, he says, and it will be given to you. And what a glorious promise that is to us, to know that God hears us when we pray. But the Bible also makes perfectly clear that there is such a thing as asking in the right way and asking in the wrong way. James, for example, says in James chapter 4, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So how do we know the difference? How do we know the difference between asking God rightly and asking him wrongly? Hezekiah, in our Old Testament reading for today, gives us an example so that we can see the difference. Because Hezekiah the king was at the point of death. He had a disease that was about to take his life. We're not told exactly what this disease was. Isaiah mentions a boil, for example, but that's the only detail that we get. Maybe it was smallpox, maybe it was something else. It ultimately doesn't matter. What does matter is that Hezekiah was about to die. And honestly, it couldn't have come at a worse time either. Because as Hezekiah was laying sick, the king of Assyria was sending his armies against Jerusalem. The whole kingdom was in danger. The city would be in danger of falling to the Assyrians. And it seemed like they were about to lose their king at the moment when they needed him the most. So what were they going to do? But at this moment, Isaiah comes to Hezekiah with a message, a very clear one from the Lord. In verse 1, he says, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover. So it settled them. God has made it abundantly clear what is about to happen. Hezekiah was going to die. Isaiah turned away and walked away without saying another word. It seemed as if the end had come. And on the one hand, Christians, what else is there to say? God is the one who determines our days. God is the one who sets our beginning, and God is the one who sets our end. Just like Psalm 139 says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when there was as yet none of them. And Christians, there is great wisdom in accepting this truth. There is great wisdom in trusting ourselves to the Lord who has our days in his hands. We do not need to fear death because we know that the Lord will take care of us, that he is the one who has determined these things, and he always knows what is best. But on the other hand, Hezekiah prays. What God has told him drives him to call upon the Lord. And this is a good thing to do, Christians. We should call upon the Lord in prayer. Because we might get this notion into our heads that because God has established everything, because he's going to do what he wants to do, that prayer is pointless, that there is no meaning. Why should I pray at all if God is just going to do his will? And yet God still commands us to pray. He wants us to ask him. He wants us to call on him. And he promises to hear and to answer those who call on his name. So we should not hesitate to pray, just as Hezekiah does not hesitate to pray in this moment. But how do we know that we're asking for the right thing? How do we know that we're not asking wrongly? What does James mean when he says that you ask wrongly in order to spend it on your passions? Well, spending it on your passions, Christians, means it becomes something self-centered, that we ask for something from the Lord because we're really only concerned about ourselves. We ask for selfish things. Someone might ask, for example, to be healed because they're just tired of being sick and they want to get back to work and they don't want to be sick anymore. Someone might ask for money because they think that that would make them happy. Just a little bit more and all of our problems would disappear. Someone might even ask for a spiritual gift from God, a gift of the Holy Spirit, so that other people would notice them and pay attention to them and think that they are pious and holy. There can be all kinds of ways in which we might do this. And we might not even realize that we're doing it, Christians. Just ask yourself this question. How often do you pray for yourself? Now, praying for yourself is fine. Hezekiah does it. Jesus does it. There's nothing wrong with from asking God something for ourselves. But is that the only thing that we pray about? Do we never pray for others? Do we never pray for God's kingdom? Do we never pray that God would take care of someone else? Have I ever just prayed simply to give thanks or to praise God for who he is? It's worth asking these hard questions about ourselves. It's always worth looking at and inspecting the state of our hearts. And I know that Hezekiah's prayer at first glance might seem like this kind of self-centered prayer. I mean, listen to what he says, verse 3. Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight. So is Hezekiah just holding himself up here? Is he saying, God, look at me, look how good I am, and this is why you should answer me? Is Hezekiah afraid to die? Not at all. And for several reasons. The first reason, and the most important reason being, that God answers his prayer. God gives to him the things for which he asks. If Hezekiah had been asking in the wrong way, if he had been asking for a selfish reason, God would not have answered him. And we need to keep that in mind, especially as we consider Hezekiah's prayer. The second reason is because Hezekiah is a godly man, Christians. The Bible says very clearly that he was a godly man. He was a man who followed after God, a man who walked in the ways that was right, a man who did a lot of good things, things that God wanted him to do. We should take the Bible seriously when it says that he was a good king. For that reason, we can assume that he's asking for the right reason. Third reason being that nothing of what he says here is false. Everything that he says is true. Hezekiah had followed after God. Hezekiah had walked in righteousness. He had done what God wanted him to do. If he hadn't done it, then yes, it would be self-centered. Then he would be lying to God in a way of trying to manipulate him. But what he says is true. And so he's asking for the right reasons. And fourth and lastly, this prayer of his actually points towards God and not towards himself. Because in this prayer, Christians, he is holding on to God and holding on to his promises. Maybe it's easier to understand that if we think of this as being half of the prayer. Maybe Hezekiah doesn't actually say the other half. I mean, he doesn't have to. Or maybe it's just not written down. But it's only half of the prayer. The other half of the prayer, the implied part of the prayer, is that God is faithful to his promises. Like the promise that he made to Solomon, his forefather. 1 Kings chapter 3. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So God had promised that those who were faithful to him would find blessing. Those who walked in his ways would receive his good things. And so Hezekiah is basically saying, you promised these blessings, Lord, so where are they? Do the things that you have promised to do. He is holding God to his word. Now, I recognize that this is complicated because we do not want to twist God's promises into something that they are not. And so I think the easiest way to do this to help us to understand is to ask this question. What is my intent? Why am I holding God to his promises? Am I trying to force him to do something? To get him to do something in the way that I want? Well, that's the problem with the so-called prosperity gospel. False teachers who will tell you that God promises you every blessing, that you could have anything that your heart asks for, as long as you say the right thing, or believe hard enough, or even just give them some money. Then you'd be able to get all of these things that God was going to give. You could have money, you could have security, you could have healing, whatever it may be. All you have to do is X, Y, and Z. And this ends up treating God as a kind of vending machine. That everything that I could possibly want, everything that my flesh desires can be mine, as long as I ask in the right way. Prayer ends up becoming focused on me. But true prayer Christians should glorify God. True prayer should uphold him as holy. It should treat him as the one from whom all good things come. True prayer looks to him and holds on to him and is content to give these things to him, even if it means that my flesh won't get these things in the way that it might want. True prayer upholds God over all things. And this is exactly what we see happening here with Hezekiah. Hezekiah is looking to the Lord. And he is holding on to the promises of the Lord. If Hezekiah had died at that moment, I don't think he would have been disappointed. Because then he would have been with God. And that is much better. But Hezekiah seeks the glory of God. Do this, Lord, so that others may see that you are faithful. Do this, Lord, so that others may see that you are steadfast. A God who keeps his promises. A God who does what he says. Remember the promises that you have made to Abraham and to David, so that Israel, your people, may be built up in faith in these dark and difficult times. And that this is the point of his prayer can be seen clearly in the way that God answers him. Because Even before Isaiah leaves the building, God comes to him and tells him to go back. And he says to tell Hezekiah that God would heal him, that God would add 15 years to his life. But notice especially what God says in verse 6. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. So Hezekiah was not being healed just for his own sake. Hezekiah's healing would be a sign to Israel that God was going to deliver them. Hezekiah being healed would show that God would save them from their enemies and that the city would not fall at that time. God was going to do this not for Hezekiah's sake, but for his own sake and for the sake of his servant David. Hezekiah being healed would uphold God as holy. It would show that he never breaks his promises. God would not be proven a liar. Hezekiah would be healed and that healing would show Israel that they should trust in the Lord. And this is also the point of the sign that God gives to Hezekiah. He says it's an easy thing for a shadow to lengthen. Does it every single day as the sun moves through the sky. That's nothing unusual. But for a shadow to shorten, to go the other way, that would be something remarkable. And that's exactly what God does. He makes the shadows go backwards on that day, like moving the sun the other way in the sky, to show that he would keep his promise. Because, Christians, in this way, if God can do this, if God can cause the shadows to go backwards, he can certainly do the other thing too. He can save this city. He would deliver them. He would take care of them. And so God gives them these two signs, the healing of Hezekiah and the shadows going back, to show that he is faithful and true. So there is no need for Israel to be afraid. And the same is also true for us Christians. Jesus tells us to ask, to come to him in prayer, and even to ask for great things, and we will receive them. Not because we're twisting God's arm. A faith which can move mountains does not move mountains because it is so sincere, or because it's so strong, or because it says the right things. A faith which moves mountains does so because it trusts in the one who can move mountains. It trusts in the one to whom nothing is impossible. True prayer says more about God than it does about us in the end. Because true prayer always glorifies God, Christians. It looks to him in all things, even when it's asking something for ourselves. It looks to him because it knows that he can answer and that he can do something. He is the source of every good thing. True prayer is content to trust in God, even when it has to wait for an answer, because it knows that God will answer and will do what is right in his own time. And true prayer knows that God will answer, Christians, because he has promised to do so through Jesus Christ, his Son. And God never goes back on his word. So come to him in prayer, Christians. Ask for great things in his name, just as he has told you to do. And glorify him above all things, because he is the Lord of all, and he will answer you just as he has promised to do through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who has promised to hear us for the sake of Jesus Christ, we glorify you for all of your rich mercies, and we give you thanks for all that you have done, because you are faithful and true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.